Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into this episode of Jacked Ramsey's, a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am your co-host, Danny Morang, joined by always, well, hopefully always and forever, Brandon Sprague, Tinny the Fan.
What's the divorce rate in our country right now? 50%?
I don't know. How long do radio stations, what stays together longer, couples or radio station hosts?
I would say on average radio station hosts.
That's kind of what I was, especially with at your network.
Yeah, our station's pretty good that way, which, you know, thank you, God. But I think most radio stations give a group like 3 or 4 years. I think marriage is right. Don't they say in the first 2 to 3?
It's yeah, like, I think that's kind
you're
of
there and you're out.
Not it's not good, Bob. That's the way you open up a podcast right there, yeah. Is divorce rates in America.
Speaking of divorce, let's talk about Damian Lillard.
Yeah, good. That's a professional radio host right there, ladies and gentlemen. As always, as we get rolling here on Jacked Ramsey's, like, rate, review, subscribe. You guys have done a fantastic job already downloading the podcast.
Yes.
The reviews have come in. Thank you, everybody that has left a review, clicked on it, subscribed to the feed. Apple, iTunes, podcast. Catchers, whatever you need, Spotify. We are now on Google Podcasts. All of the players are catching up. You should be able to find it on Stitcher and Megaphone as well now. Spotify took over Megaphone. That's a different podcast. But yeah, so thank you all. It has been the first launch, the first week was a tremendous launch, even after things went sideways on the technology side and the players didn't catch up. It still went great. So thank you. Thank you all very, very much. Beyond that, it's I don't know. We're sitting here doing this now right after the first Summer League game.
Mm-hmm.
What were your overall impressions? We'll get into the mailbag here real quick, but just kind of 30,000 feet, overall impressions of the veteran players that were out there in Beasley, Moutier, and Farid, and the likelihood of one or both of them ending up, in Portland next season.
I had expectations for them to win the game. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I really think they've built a squad where they care about winning because
they're a favorite.
Yeah. I mean, they're a favorite in the books, but I think Neil and the organization care about getting these veterans that experience, like go out there and body these young players who are trying to earn their way into the league. So watching Moutier, Farid, and Beasley was pretty important. Now, admittedly, I missed the first half of this because I was coaching my daughter's soccer game, which, by the way, we won our first game.
There you go.
So, yes. But what I was seeing was Emmanuel Moutier not making much of an impact at all. I'm good off him.
Well, he was making an impact. It was just the difference between him and everybody else was not good, Bob.
It was not great. But I think you and I, and we've discussed this before on live shows in our past podcast, it's up to Farid and Beasley, right? Yeah. For that extra roster spot. Look, I still think I'm leaning Beasley if I'm going off of game one, I know Farid's stats are better and Beasley shot 3 of 11 and he is dreadful by all measure on defense. But it's not like I'm expecting Kenneth Farid to come down there and anchor anything defensively. I'll still take the guy that can get a shot and get a bucket if he needs to be put out there on the court. I think
dribble pass shoot is valuable.
It is valuable. It matters, right? Like for all the things Melo would do to drive us crazy in certain moments. Mm-hmm. He still had games where he would hit pivotal shots that would break momentum or extend momentum or help kind of turn the tide a little bit. And he'd give you 14, 15 off the bench. Like, he had a good amount of games, I thought Melo did, of making an impact. So can you replace that? Maybe not with Reed and Beasley, but if there's a choice between those two, I think I'm going to go the guy who can get a bucket.
And that's the thing. I think the Blazers are going to look at this, and they've got two open roster spots. They're going to use one because they need another body.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do anything beyond that because those veteran minimum salaries are not going to hit you on the cap side of things. So they're not in a bad position there monetarily. The unfortunate thing is I think the Blazers are going to have to pick between one of these two guys, and they're going to have to matter. Like, that's a thing. Like, that's what, to me, is terrifying about all this. On top of all of the things that we've talked about with Damian Lillard and the need to restructure the team and bring in impact players, you're going to need a contribution from guys that haven't been in the NBA for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, just because it worked with Carmelo Anthony to an extent does not mean that the experiment should be replicated with the hope of achieving the same or better results. Sometimes it's okay to just be like, nah, we got lucky with the last one. We don't need to do this again, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're more likely going to have a Festus Ezeli than a Carmelo Anthony.
Yes. And there's been more Festus Ezelis, as in Festus Ezeli and Pau Gasol. Like,
or Pau Gasol is another one,
we've
right?
Seen that's this. Someone.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get into the questions. Right out of the bag, we do have quite a bit, so thank you guys for that. We'll start with Colin Pettit, Colin Petit. I'm sorry, I don't know which one it is. Is the team shopping anyone to upgrade the team besides CJ? I know, quick reference, we could be looking to upgrade the third, fourth, and fifth options with CJ likely staying. How likely do you think it is that the Blazers, while not shopping CJ, are shopping Cove and Nurk or Derrick Jones Jr.?
I mean, I don't think it's impossible, but I don't really know what you get in return for players like that when you're basically going to a flea market and you're negotiating between tables. You're not going to the Gucci store and getting back a great value price. Yeah. You're going to the flea market. So is it impossible to trade Cove, Nurk, DJ with the one more year on his contract? No. But is it likely? No.
You still have to replace those guys if you trade them. Like, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, you may be able to trade two for one, but are you getting like the position? Like, if the Blazers trade Yusuf Nurkic, are you okay all of a sudden starting Cody Zeller because you got a higher caliber level four and now you can move off Covington? It's like you're kind of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
I guess my problem with trade stuff and hypotheticals, like, it's not impossible because this league is crazy, but I just don't look around the landscape of the league and see a team that's like, yeah, we need Yusuf Nurkic to break what's going on here. Take these guys in return. I just don't see what that trade is or who that is. So I would say I wouldn't expect a trade is what I would say to Colin.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's fair. I think this is a nice transition. This is from Harry. At least I think it's Harry because it's at Harry29701546. Get those?
Well, they're very hairy. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. What is the best realistic outlook for the Blazers as currently constructed? What's the best?
The very best possible outcome.
Best realistic outlook.
Is Dame playing?
I don't know. What's a realistic outlook?
Well, it's very possible that what you said happens on the live show, that he's talking about, hey, I'm rehabbing and I'll be back in mid to late November, maybe early December with my abductor injury. If he's back earlier, I mean, your best possible outcome, everything breaks your way and you play well, you're a second round team and nothing more.
I don't disagree. Like, I'm looking for somebody to argue against with you, but I think we're going to be kind of in lockstep on some of this stuff.
I still think they're a first round and exit team. I don't think they're
a second
round.
You need things to go really well for you. Okay, let's take this opportunity real quick. Take a look at the West.
Okay,
the Clippers are probably out of it because Kawhi's going to miss most of the season. Okay, the Lakers are on paper. They're going to be good. Okay, so the Lakers. The Warriors, they've got some young guys. They've got some old guys. Klay, let's just say Klay is 75% of what Klay is supposed to be. They still have Steph and Dre, right? They still have Wiggins, who looked like a good NBA player. Wiseman in another year. Two young rookies, one of which looks like could be pretty impactful. Like, they've got players, okay? So that's three. The Suns, they may not make the finals, but do you think they're going to be damn good? Okay. Jazz? Okay, that's five. Yep. How about Memphis? Is Memphis making an ascension? Are they rising up at all?
You would have to assume Memphis gets better, right? With Ja, with Jaren, with Dylan.
So like, now they're probably, again, a little bit tighter as far as like a play-in team. How about Dallas?
Dallas. Well, I don't know if Dallas gets better, but I think Dallas is right there in the thick.
They're going to be healthier, and they're not going to look like ass for the first 2 months of the season.
Yes.
Like I think people glossed over the fact that they had such a poor start. Like, oh, they only had a slightly better record than the Blazers. And it's like, now let's go ahead and see how they did in the playoffs. And they were, you know, one game away from getting it done. As bad as they were.
I think every team Danny got, they're either going to be the same or they might get better with development. And I think we're not even counting the teams who missed the dance. And it might seem ridiculous. Sacramento, Halliburton could take that step. If Hield stays, they don't deal him. You know, De'Aaron is one of my favorite guys. You never know. And I'll even say this. Stan Van was god-awful.
Pelicans are going to get better.
The Pelicans have got to get better, even if they only keep what they have. Like, I know they got destroyed for the Devontae Graham deal, but, bro,
Ingram can score. Like, that's the thing is, like, they can't really stop anybody, but they can score.
Yep.
And in the regular season, I don't know if anybody knows this, but the Blazers didn't stop anybody. They scored a lot. And that can get you into the playoffs. So this whole idea of like, the Clippers are a little banged up and the continuity with the Blazers, like they've got a whole season with Norm. And I'm like, these other teams around them are getting better.
The Clippers without Kawhi got to the West Finals and competed. Like, that Clipper team would have beaten Portland without Kawhi Leonard. Yes. That's insane to think about, but that's how good they were. So let's not diminish the Clippers because Kawhi is going to be out till probably March.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's out of the season, to be honest.
I mean, it could be a KD situation. Year one, Brooklyn sits out. But still, it's like, let's not act like they're not good players, right?
No, they returned basically everybody that mattered.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, so Portland, this whole idea, like, well, they'll have CJ and Nurk, you know, healthy. And like, the Blazers won those games already. They don't like get bonus points for winning them by more.
We have a question and I don't know if we get to it, but like, I won't say it, but there was a question involving Nurk and the thing you're talking about that we can talk about a little bit later, but.
Okay. This one is a kind of fits into what's been going on recently. This from Josh Bullock with Ben Simmons saying he doesn't want to go to Portland or Toronto. Does that make a CJ plus deal for Siakam trade any more likely? I mean,
I think we give it up. I'm pulling a France, man. I'm waving the white flag. Yeah. I think it's over. I think we need to let the CJ trade stuff go.
That's kind of where I sit. Not just because from a value standpoint, just because I don't think Neil O'Shea has given any indication that he's willing to actually engage in trades. Like the only time I've ever heard CJ's name, no BS, be in, be in an offer is for James Harden. And if that's the bar, like, what, dog, what are we doing here?
Right. If you're, yeah, if your expectation is James Harden type players,
go with God.
I mean, he's gonna live and die with his own choices, and that's kind of what that job is anyway. But I mean, good luck to you. But I kind of feel like play some Sarah McLachlan, and I just want to like put my face up like I'm a caged animal and just be like, you know, yeah. That's how I feel when you talk about not trading CJ anymore.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I don't know. Listen, guys. If you want to like put in some questions in here that are, I think the thing we're looking for is the less bummer, right? Questions, put them in. We'll gladly take them. We'll gladly take them.
Which one would Jody want near her bed, me or Danny? Let's debate this right now.
Oh,
he's definitely picking you.
It's, I don't know, man. It's,
you guys can match dark sides. There's something to that energy.
I just, it hurts. Like I'm sitting here like scrolling through. I'm like, is there really like a happy question in here? And you know what?
These are what we're talking about, right? Like, yeah. This is the situation. I think we have to be, we can't shy away from.
I don't ever want to shy away from it, but I'll be honest. Like a little, like peel back the curtain, the onion, whatever you want to call it. Here, I get sick and tired of people coming at me and be like, "Why are you so negative all the time?" And I'm just, it's like, it's not me. Like, I want to sit here and talk about like, wow, Greg Brown can jump out of the gym and like the Blazers like converted more alley-oops today than the regular Blazers have in a year. Yeah. I want to like have fun and talk about dumb shit like that. Like
maybe 2 years, but yes.
But that's the thing. It's like, I want to do that, but I can spend like 10 seconds on that.
Yeah.
Because it's not that impactful right now.
No.
The other stuff that's not as much fun right now is more impactful and more pressing and more right in your face. And it's like, and that's why I'm going to do this. Nibble, at Nibble_2x2. Best pizza for watching Blazer games at home?
Oh, that's a great question.
My answer on this has recently changed.
Okay, so I have, do we want to give the company names or
go
not?
Go ahead. Okay. We'll use this as test footage.
I have an Abby's not far from my house.
That's where I just changed to.
And Abby's has fire-ass pizza.
Good God.
And if we have a large with pepperoni, sausage, olive, pineapple, and jalapeno, that is a fantastic pizza to be eating during a Blazer game.
Pepperoni and jalapeno. I asked you.
I need the pineapple though. I'm a pineapple guy. I know that's.
I you and Amara, you're both wonderful people, so I won't kill you. But we did the tradition. Our first meal in the house was pizza and Chinese. And I just moved out to Newburgh, and there's an Abby's just down the road. I've never had Abby's before that.
Oh, I didn't know there was an Abby's in Newburgh.
Yeah, it's right down the street. Like, it's here in minutes.
Oh, good.
And my sister lives out here too. And she was like, I was like, hey, what's the best, you know, like good pizza to get out? She's like, Abby's is pretty good. And I was like, all right. So I got that. And yeah, I was a Round Table or Bellagio's guy in Beaverton.
Those are good. Round Tables and Bellagio's good.
Good. Giovanni's, especially if you're an OG Beaverton guy. But Abby's is good, dude. Pepperoni good. And jalapeno. Like it's choice. Like it's a definite go-to when you're like, you know what? And those commercials, it's kind of funny. I actually joked about this the other day. Those Abby's commercials are like all former like Oregon Ducks, so they would never, ever, ever hire me to do that. But they're always like looking back, and I'm like, why don't you do an advertisement with like a new customer? Like,
no.
If talking about, yeah, you know what? Somebody just moved into their new house, and their first ever pizza with their wife in their new house was an Abby's pizza.
Yeah. Abby's was my first experience in Oregon City where I was like, oh, Oregon City's got a fire pizza joint. Then I found out there's kind of like a franchise of them. And I'm like, okay, that's good. Because if you're going to order Abby's, also let me tell you, if you're doing a family order, get the extra, give them the family or the extra large.
Yeah.
Don't do large.
Yeah. No, you gotta get the tremendous pizza.
The big one.
Yes.
The big one. Yeah.
So Nibble, thank you for that. Cause now I'm craving pizza. This one is popping up more and more. This is from at Jacob Curry 22. Is there a buyer lined up to buy the Blazers when they get put on the market?
You're convinced there is?
Yes.
I don't blame you for that thought. I personally, I think Danny makes a lot of sense. I haven't heard anything about a potential buyer right now. So I can't really, my best bet is no, but again, I don't have that information. You seem to be convinced that there is an individual ready to buy it tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm pretty convinced there's a guy with a lot of money that has been pre-cleared by the league. And it's just a matter of, it just happens more often than not with team sales. The way the Timberwolves were sold is not normal. Typically, it just happens. Like, all of a sudden, there's a new owner. The Timberwolves stuff, I think you heard about it because of Alex Rodriguez's involvement.
Right.
Like, that's... Most of these billionaires, they don't... They real G's move in silence, okay? Like, that's stuff just happens. Like, that's how that stuff goes. But yes, I'm very confident that somebody is lined up, that somebody with serious, serious pocketbooks is... ready and waiting and in the wings, ready to snatch it up. So,
well, before we, you know, even when we get to that point, I think it's important to ask that person if they ever do media, because our current owner doesn't do that. It'd just be nice to know, like, how invest are you going to be invested? Are you?
I want this to be somebody's plaything.
Yes. Like, yes. Treat it that way.
Cuban Ballmer, like, get, like, be at every game, like, get teed up, get fined. Like, I want you to have more money than God and for this to be your vanity toy. Now, don't be like James Dolan and be an idiot about it.
Sure.
But be involved. Be invested. Cut checks. Like, don't be stingy. Build a state-of-the-art training facility. Like, that's what I loved about Paul.
Yeah.
We literally have a name for it. It's called spam. Spend Paul Allen's money. And now it has gone away, sadly.
R.I.P. Paul.
So, but yeah, I do believe that there is a buyer lined up. I just don't think it's going to happen for 2 to 3 years. So everything that has been told to me is everything hinges on expansion.
2 to 3 more years, Jody Allen.
Ownership advantage, one of the biggest ownership or biggest advantages in sports. Hands down.
Doesn't it feel like we're learning that lesson, though? Because Paul was kind of
a stark contrast.
Yeah. Like, I think people that were even critics of Paul are quickly seeing that, like, ownership pairing matters. It really does.
Particularly in small markets.
Yeah, especially in small markets.
Because the small things become bigger, right? Like, you're all of a sudden, you're like, this isn't good.
Yeah. So
it's interesting to say the least.
I'll add this. We don't have to talk about this, but I'll just add.
Go.
I've heard from a few different Blazer fans, like, some of them in my life, some of them are like acquaintances, but I've been a little surprised how ready people kind of are, knowing what's coming, and just going, let's just ship him. Let's just do it. Just nuke the whole thing. It's over.
I've already gotten there mentally. Like, if when it does happen, like, I'm already, like, I bypass the bargaining stage just because I know what is going on behind the scenes and the asks that have been made. And it's just like, just rip the bandaid off. Like,
just give me Evan Fournier and 2 draft picks, New York, and we'll call it good.
God, the next national media person that says it, I swear to God, I'm going to have the soaped up tube sock ready for him. So tired of it. Oh, yeah, no, Fournier will be a great salary balance. And I'm like, you jackass, are you kidding me? We're really going to do this. Like, that's a negative value asset. Like, I know, I understand the fundamental nature of, like, how contracts and trading them works, but you can't send out more shitty assets. Like, that's not how this works. Like, it's anyways.
Anything to get into the Knicks. That's all they want. They want them to the Knicks.
And this is a great transition. This from Matthew at Revan Romulus. Realistically, the Blazers do anything besides sign one more minimum contract before the season begins. Also, am I being too negative when I think we will see stretches of the season where both Nurk and Zeller are hurt?
That's the question I was referencing earlier, and I'll tell you right now, that person is hitting on something I've had a fear of the minute they signed Cody Zeller. He has not played, Danny, more than 58 games.
He's a 50-game-a-year guy.
He's a 60-game-a-year guy at best. Yeah. So pencil that in, 22 games missed off the top. Nurkic.
Which is why you have to think about Fareed.
Yeah, it's why they're going to have to sign a Kenneth Faried or a Michael Beasley or whoever the hell it's going to be. And Yusuf Nurkic, I mean, I know there's a lot of optimism about, you know, like I think Gunnarsson said contract year. And like, you know,
he's still 7 foot, 300 pounds.
But he's a big dude and he's shown zero ability basically as a Blazer to really go the full length.
He's had one full season.
Yeah. I mean, what did he miss last year? 6 weeks?
Yeah. On Eight? The most innocuous play you have ever seen.
I remember watching that happen against Atlanta and I was like, what? And he started shaking his hand. And then he just left and they're like, he's got a fractured wrist. And I'm like, how the hell did that happen? But that's kind of, you know, that's
big dudes in general. Like,
yeah.
Kristaps Porzingis, I was talking to a Mavs beat reporter a couple weeks ago, and Porzingis has had, I think in the last 2 years, 14 different cataloged lower body injuries. When you get to that size, because throw all of the Nurk is 265 nonsense out of your ever-loving minds. Nurk is 300 plus pounds, even
just
thin.
That size alone, he's 300.
He's thin, trim Nurk is 295, 300 pounds. He was 335 when he got here. He's a massive. When I talk about Nurk being like in that category of dude, there's like five guys in the league. Somebody's like, oh, Jokic and him are the same size. No, they are not. Nurk is as thick as a refrigerator from front to back. You've been next to Nurk. Nurk is a massive dude.
Huge.
And very, very, very rarely, Shaq probably being the only guy in NBA history in that 1% of 1% size dudes that had a clean bill of health for a decade.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't happen. I mean, we got Sabas too late. That we saw how
that was after two Achilles and three knees.
Nurkic, the thing what they always say with bigs, and honestly, this works for any athlete, you're never getting healthier.
No.
So, like, after that first surgery, good luck.
Like, the bones are stronger, but, like, the muscular structures underneath.
It never is the same, man. Oh. So, to that listen, that I thought that question was great because yeah. I thought it was a real snapshot of, OS, we might have our five and our backup five miss 25 plus games this year.
And it's you better possible. Pray they don't overlap. Otherwise, they're going to Anthony Tolliver, Mario Hezonja, the center again, right? We're going to get Mike Beasley center minutes?
No, what we'll do is Rolo will get bought out in Orlando and he'll come to Portland.
Yeah, you're not getting him out of Orlando, man. Universal Studios and Disney World? Pff, nah. And they paid him more. They gave him $4 million.
They did give him $4 million. He also lives in Portland, so he's gotten his Portland fill. So now he's ready to go to Orlando.
He's like, you want me to stay in Portland in the winter and then go to Orlando in the summer? I think you guys have got this one backwards.
What's Nene Hilario doing? Is that where we're headed?
Luis Scola just hung him up. But did you see Scola at the Olympics?
Dude, he was a good-looking cat. He kind of turned me on.
Dude. Like it looked like he bronzed before each game.
His haircut was high and tight. He has a good looking old man, grayish beard.
The hair after having that greasy hair for so long, where you're like, it was to the point where like you weren't sure if you wanted to guard him or the shirtless fat guy because if his greasy hair got you, it was nasty. If the slimed up fat guy got you, it was nasty. Either way, you're either getting that wet, greasy hair in the face or you're getting the sweaty fat guy. It's just like, but he cut that off and it was like I don't know, the glow up of the century. Like
that was an amazing glow. Cause like
Luis Scola when they first popped on and I was like, no, he's not ugly enough.
Yeah, I know. Right. You were like, that dude's kind of ugly. And now you're like, oh, he's kind of hot. What's going on with Luis Scola? Good for him.
Listen, man, you and I, if we strive to have that level of glow up at that age, right?
Like, oh, it'd be so fantastic to look that much better at like 41 or whatever.
I mean, it's not a tough bar for me to climb, like looking better than I look now. So
I just want to be hotter than the Luis Scola. Is that too much to ask?
Yes. Damn it.
Oh, man.
Any updates on Root being available on streaming services? Like
I haven't heard anything.
Like I've had conversations with Root about other stuff going on and what potentially the landscape looks like, but I just say that they're working on it. I think that they're gonna look at try to do something. I just don't know if it'll be ready for the season.
I don't know who had that report, but didn't somebody have that like a couple weeks back that they were talking to YouTube TV and Hulu about jumping?
They're looking at different things that are out there.
You better. They better get that done, because if they don't, they're going to lose more of the audience than Comcast probably had, NBC Sports. So, I haven't heard anything up to date, but I'll tell you right now, they better be working really vigilantly on getting YouTube TV and Hulu.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that they're trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
So, beyond that.
How that's going to work, man. I have no clue how that's going to work.
None. I have no ever-loving idea.
Have they even signed Kevin Calabro?
Nothing's been official yet. So.
They'll figure that out. They'll end up paying him his money.
Listen, even if they don't, they pull Travis or Holton out of the booth. And
you think that's what they would do?
Yeah.
Who would do radio?
I think that's an easier slot to fill than a TV slot. Yeah. That's a wow. I mean, what else? I mean, what else would they do?
Would you go hire Scott Linehan? I mean, like, I don't know what they would do on radio.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I'm available.
How would they make Chad do radio? Can you imagine doing play-by-play? Look at this clown.
This guy doesn't know how to run a fast break. Defense, where is it? Oh, God. So, yeah, I don't know. It's all that stuff. We haven't even got there yet. We still don't know where that stuff's at. So,
uncertainty everywhere, isn't there?
It is. No, it's just it's pure unadulterated chaos. Like, that's just the way this is going to go. This from Wayne Hughes at Reading the Water. Okay, let's say this is all Neil does. Crappy statement to even think about. This team is – that was not my emphasis. That was in the tweet. I swear to God. This team is not a championship contender. Is it realistic to expect Dame to inquire about being traded at the deadline?
We may disagree here. I say absolutely. If he misses any time with that injury, that team –
that's a bad tea leave.
Dude, they're going to I'll tell you right, that's a bad tea leave. That's a good point. But also – you know, Norm, CJ, that team can be okay, but that team ain't going to be amazing. They're going to be absolutely dog-ass on defense. And not that Dame's better, but I'm just saying.
He gets it back on that offensive end of the floor.
Yeah. I expect a lot of 110 to 120 type games. If that happens, I absolutely think it's possible for the deadline stuff, man. I do.
So I would have disagreed with you probably a month ago. Mm-hmm. I've talked to more people locally and nationally that are pretty clued in on stuff, and they seem to think if things are headed the way they are with what they haven't done, that the ask out happens at the deadline, but it's more of a courtesy. Like,
yeah, it's more of a, hey, capitalize on getting some assets in return, but I'm out.
It's a ask out at the deadline, but I'll be moved during the summer. If that makes sense. Less disruption. You allow teams that are out there to, you know, put their best, you know, package together, put all their makeup on go full bachelor style. You know, I present you this rose.
You blow it all the way up, or do you take a young asset? Like, if Boston's not doing what they want to do and they say, we'll give you Jalen.
Listen, I want the blue chip, but I want the blue chip and to blow it up. I am not retooling. I want Jalen and picks. I want Brandon Ingram and picks. I want whatever young guy this next summer that comes available and picks.
You think that they're going to actually, because I'll tell you right now, they get Jalen or Brandon.
They're going to try to retool around CJ.
Yeah. It's exactly where that's going
to
go.
And that's the next question here. Mr. Yolius, is Neil's ultimate aim to build the Blazers around the franchise player that is CJ McCollum? I'm not saying no.
I can't believe we're even quiet and contemplating whether we should answer this question, but yes, I would absolutely say that is in the cards right now.
Just,
you know, when you have a split in Vegas, you get eights, you split eights, you play two hands. Mm-hmm. we're at that point.
Yeah.
And Dame is an eight and CJ's an eight. And Neil has convinced himself that the CJ hand is the hand he's caring more about right now. Because one hand is like, hey, give me some help. I'm an all NBA player. The other hand is like, hey, I'm good at business and I'm the president of the Players Association now.
Both of them matter. Come on now.
Both, yeah, they both matter, but I think it's kind of an indication.
I couldn't even get a straight face out of it.
How we've gotten this to this point, I don't know.
I never thought we would get this far.
Danny, we could invite Neil O'Shea on right now to third camera in, and he could talk circles around us in certain regards. And I wouldn't be like, oh, I feel stupid. That's his job. It's amazing to that I'm watching the same game as that guy. And he's not going home thinking, I need to do everything I can to keep this guy. He's amazing. He's like, I have another player that's just a little worse, but still good. And I'm going to go with that guy.
It's definitely a calculus that I didn't see coming. Like that's the only way I can put this. Like we made like jokes and memed about it. We all did. But to like actually see that like that this might be real,
yeah,
that's a different level. That's 3D chess stuff, man. And I'm just saying, like,
and Doctor, like, by the way, imagine that press conference. I don't think he gets fired if he ends up trading Dame. I don't even care.
I genuinely thought that if it came down to it, that it would cost him his job. I don't believe that anymore.
I think they're so disconnected from the team that they're just sales are good for tickets. You're still winning. You're still a playoff. Like, I think that's their bar. That's what they care about
right now with this ownership group, as things currently sit. I believe that might be the case.
That sucks.
Isn't that the great one you want to end the podcast on?
I'll tell you right now, that's not how. You know, there's a lot of philosophies and morals that we all carry within ourselves, right? Like, I'll give you a quick one. I was selling a car that we bought right out of college. It was a used car. We got scammed when we bought it, but we needed a car bad, so we bought it. It was a great car, Honda Element. I could have sold that car for $2,500. I agreed verbally to a guy that wanted it in the baddest of ways, and he was one of the first people to reach out. And I was so desperate to get out. I said, I'll give it to you for $1,000. Just come take it. I want it out of my garage. Mm. And in that time between giving it to him and him coming to get it, I had like three or four people like, hey, here's 2,000, here's 25. And I had a lot of people going, dude, you're stupid. Get rid of it for that. And I'm like, I told that guy that it was his. I was waiting on the title to get here and it was his. Now, I don't think you're a bad person if you take more money. But I personally am like, if I'm going to say I'm going to do something, I'm going to try my damnedest to do it.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's wild that your brother leaves you this entity that he clearly cared a lot about, and you've given zero F's whatsoever to his legacy.
She's cut the checks to run things and kept the status quo.
Yep.
The more I take a look at all the transactions, yeah, they gave up two first-round picks for Robert Covington, and I'm like, yeah, there's no new deal there. They signed Derek Jones Jr. with the MLE, but they did a two-year MLE with a player option. They have left themselves financial loopholes at every turn, with the exception of Dame and CJ's contracts. And they greenlit those. Like, that's the one thing you can say, but, like, what, are you going to not sign Damian Lillard? Huh? You know,
it's just bad business too. Like, if you would have told me in 1999, 2002, that the Golden State Warriors were going to be relevant on a title winning level, I'd have laughed in your face. They're garbage. They were mediocre. They were not good. When they made the playoffs, they got swept. They had the 1 year they beat Dallas. Like, it was a cute little story.
Did we believe in that? Yeah.
But guess what happens when you start winning and caring about being good? Now, if the Golden State Warriors sell their team, how much are they selling it for? $3 billion? $3.5 billion?
Probably four.
probably four. Okay, but if they would have sold, that same ownership group sold in 99, they would have got what? And I know the financials are different, but like my point is,
yeah,
caring about winning
actually skyrockets your value.
Yes. Yes. So you dive in and you want to make $2 billion. Great. What if you made $2.7 billion? Right? Because if that's your angle is the money, being good helps business. It makes business better.
And not just that. The other part of this is that you, the person that comes in the, as the new owner, they're not going to care because they're going to have more money than God.
Yeah.
Like they're going to be able to make any changes they want. And nobody wants, nobody at that level wants to just piss away tens of millions of dollars. Don't get it twisted. That's not what I'm saying. But I got in this argument on Twitter the other day. The number one thing that an owner brings to sports is capital and willingness to spend said capital. That is their value.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any impact any other way. Everybody's like, well, the culture and this and like that stuff can all be held by somebody else. Nobody else can spend the money. Nobody.
Culture, by the way, to me, culture is also a locker room creator, not an ownership creator.
There's two different cultures. There's your team culture and there's your business culture.
Yes.
Your owner is not impacting your team culture.
Right. So like the Clippers, for example, Ballmer, you would imagine, has a great culture because he seems enthusiastic and energetic. But that doesn't make its way to the players. So you saw in the bubble, their culture crumbled because their culture was internally not great.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it felt like this year I needed to see it, but I think many other people were in that camp and they came together and said, no, we're not chumps. We can get to the West Finals.
And they had a stronger culture.
Like culture to me is a roster locker room situation. That's why I laughed at the Boogie stuff years ago. I'm like, yeah, he's kind of a head case, but he's friends with Dame. Did he fall in line with Dame's culture? Like that's kind of how that goes.
Boogie, like the same reason Kendrick Perkins got added to teams. Everybody else may hate him, but a lot of players liked him.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why he kept getting put on teams.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, I can't stand him. I can't stand Shaq. Like these guys that are larger than life that were like on Iguodala. Like everybody calls him an A-hole. Like it's like he keeps going back to like top winning programs and they want him there. Why?
Yeah.
Because he's good for the locker room. Like those are the things that I think. Again, this is a more ethereal kind of a deal, but the whole idea of like an owner's main job is to spend. Like that's where you get a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good place to end it. About 40 minutes here. Sprague, go ahead and plug what you got. Obviously, you've got your new show and socials and everything else, so give it up.
First of all, I wanted to say, just kind of piggybacking off what Danny said there at the beginning, like continuing to see the outpouring of support and like everybody tuning in and people catching the pod and getting random questions. Like, I love it, man. We've had a blast doing this. We're doing a couple episodes per week. Danny's been doing some side stuff on the podcast feed. Great stuff with Beckner. Continue to give us a follow, you know, rate, review, please. Any and everything and that support on this feed is really, really vital. So while I have my own stuff to plug and Danny always got stuff too, like, we're in this to make it fun, to give us honest thoughts or anything we're hearing behind the scenes. And I just really appreciate all the support that we've gotten since we started Jack Ramsey. So thank you to everybody out there for that. Radio show, 6 to 9 a.m., 1080 The Fan. We've got a lot to get into tomorrow. Dame winning a gold and then instantly announcing he's injured. What does that mean? Josh Allen got $1 billion over the weekend too. So they're all in with Josh Allen. And then I got a new show. It just started this week on Friday. It airs at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. And then it's also a podcast. It's called Back to the Futures, where we talk about all future bets in sports, specifically football more so than any other sport, because I love football and I love the sports gambling aspect of football. So I'm doing that with a guy named Travis Thomas in D.C., and that's on the BetQL Network. So there's a podcast feed for that. I'm actually going to eat dinner when I sign off of this thing, and then I'm going to update my Twitter bio and tweet out
finally
all of this stuff. I know it's ridiculous, but I'm going to update all that stuff and put it out on social at Brandon Sprague. And again, thank you guys for all the support. It's been a lot of fun so far.
As always, guys, you can find me across social media at Danny Meringue on Instagram at DMeringue, because he's still squatting on my handle. the monster that he is.
We got to bully this dude out of that
hand. I really do need to bully
him. Like mass tweets. Like, get him it up.
Like, rate, review, subscribe. Like, rate, review, subscribe. We've gotten a pile of reviews in already. Yes. Thank you all so, so, so much. The first week went off about as well as it could possibly have gone. We do have some more stuff coming. I do have some more guests booked. I need to lock a few more of them in as we get ready and get through summer league. And then we'll get into the thick of the season. It's going to be here quicker than you know. So thank you guys so, so much. We are the Jacked Ramdies as part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I've got so many new taglines I got to work on here. And it's like, let me go ahead and talk through this without stumbling like an idiot. So again,
can I say one thing?
Yeah, go.
The questions were great. Again, we know the nature of this stuff right now feels negative, but yeah. I think we need to kind of come together with this and share different thoughts and feelings and ideas.
We can commiserate together. That's allowed.
Yeah, I think this is like a safe space. This is the trust tree, and we need to all be in this together. If you guys ever have food or drink related questions, though, like that one with pizza,
get them in.
Don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate.
Yeah, the food questions are always good. Shockingly, the fat guy likes food. So,
yeah, the only bad opinion is scalloped potatoes. That's the only bad opinion we have so far.
No, not we. You have. No,
you. I was saying you and everybody else.
Oh, is it the collective we? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. For Brandon Sring, I'm Danny Morang. Thank you all so much. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.